today we're going to look into Psalms 90.
You want to dance, by the way?
I think I can. All right, so I'm going to read Psalm 90. Today's lesson is Life is Short, Use It Wisely. So Psalm 90 reads, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Okay, so today's lesson, if you read the book, was Life is Short, Use It Wisely. So I actually want to start off with a little exercise. I sent out the question in the email. If you had a chance to think about three things that you want to do or accomplish in the future, and also three things that you want to do for God and accomplish in the future. So I think everyone should have a piece of paper. I know some of you guys have this one. I think others, I didn't make enough copies, but if you have a piece of paper, maybe just spend the next 3 or 5 minutes. We'll take 5 minutes then. Just to write down three things that you want to accomplish in your life and three things that you want to accomplish for God. Why don't we just take some time. Is that kind of clear for everyone? So I'll give an example of the things that I wrote down. Three things that I would like to accomplish in the future for me. I'd like to visit all the baseball stadiums, start my own business, and buy a home. And three things that I want to accomplish for God in the future. I want to finish the Bible, go on a missionary trip, and go to a Christian concert. Which is, I don't know. So why don't we just take 5 minutes and just think about those things. Okay, so I guess we can kind of just go around the room and you can say as many as you want. You don't have to say all three if you don't want to. Fan, do you want to just list the three things that you want to accomplish for yourself in the future and, three things you want to do for God?
Sure. So, three things I want to accomplish for me is I want to travel around the world, I want to become a house and a car owner, and I want to read more books, novels. And three things I want to accomplish for God is I want to get my parents and my grandparents saved. I want to continue to have daily prayers with God. And I want to continue to serve as a good Christian role model for my friends and my family. Okay.
Yeah. I have a theme here. So, first one, get married, so I won't be alone. Have a family, so I won't be alone. Make a difference in someone's life, so they won't be alone. Three things that I'd like to do for God. Attend more fellowships. Lower the fellowship, which is a good one. Show up for one day of math camp. and show up to church every night. Of
right. Well, I copied Brian's answers, right? I get married and have a family. So I guess not to be lonely also, right? And then have a house to put my family in, right? Right on the streets. God goals. Just to pray daily, read more Bible, get people saved.
So for my life, I want to find a job, like a dream job, get that settled for something that I roll the dough in, and have my own family to own a house. And for God, I want to be content with whatever He brings to me and submit to everything that He just brings to me and to love Him more and to hopefully serve Him more.
For my life, I want to skydive. I want to learn to cook or bake and participate in maybe not
finish it. CBC Marathon.
Every day. I want to be consistent in reading the Bible daily, invite people out so they can become saved, and participate in more church activities.
That's really
delicious.
I don't know what's the word or dance word of championships. Hey! It's a great accomplishment if I can do it, alright?
What are you saying?
What's the words of giants?
Words or giants. Okay, lots of tricks.
Or.
I would like to go to spring training to watch the Giants 1 year. And my third one is to retire.
What?
Well, for nowadays and like social security, we don't know money we're old, right? Some people are never going to retire. So, but God, I said, with this to my family. Start a new church ministry and raise my family with God and Christian friends.
Saved, and always being trying for church and friends.
Form my personal goals, graduate, get a job I enjoy, and get married and have a family. Or things for a daughter, be a better role model, finish the battle this mid-year, and get my family.
Things I want to accomplish are to learn to swim, hopefully before high school ends or when I graduate. Visit Europe and to grow 3 inches, which is probably not going to happen. And so that I'm going to learn to win it, finish the Bible and actually understand most of it, and daily pray.
For me, I don't want to drop out of high school. I want to reject somebody when they ask me if they're drunk. Like, ask me if I want any, and I want to get married. For God, I want to get baptized and save somebody and wait so I can get to save somebody.
Finish school, go to Japan, and buy a car. Three things like that. Finish the Bible, get baptized, and share the word of God.
Three things I want to accomplish is get a car and learn how to drive it, visit my parents' hometown, and grow up to 5'6". And three things I want to accomplish for God is get baptized, pray more, and
things for me, I put travel to places I've always wanted to go, get my own place and car, and get married. For God, I put finish the Bible, get people saved, and try to get closer to God.
Alright, three things I want to do. I want to finish my Hall of Fame Giants baseball card set. It was expensive, those Willie Mays cards. I want to do the running of the Bulls in Spain. And I want to juggle flaming torches. Yes. The three things, the other things, I want to go spread the gospel in another country. I want to help develop new leaders. And I want to live my life for God.
Okay. So what were the last two? Yeah.
Help develop new leaders. Okay. Just live my life for God.
Cool. Okay. That was really awesome. So, I mean, just the thing that I want to get out of that is, you know, for the three goals that a lot of people had, I counted, this is not accurate, but I counted like 6 people wanting to get married. And a lot of people talked about, you know, jobs, getting good grades in school and graduating, getting a car, and, you know, a lot of traveling. And in terms of, you know, the Christian goals, 7 people said, you know, witness to family or friends, getting baptized, reading the Bible more. Had like almost 14 people, and daily prayer, you know, was up there too. And 6 people said that. So, I think the thing that I really wanted to emphasize out of that exercise was, you know, the three goals that we set out for ourselves. You know, a lot of it's traveling, you know, buying cars, you know, just things that, you know, there's kind of some limitations to, you know, whether it's we're constrained by money or by time. And whereas, you know, the three Christian goals of reading more Bible, getting baptized, daily prayer, you know, witnessing, going to fellowships, you know, the limitations to that are, I don't think they're as, you know, they're as hard. And maybe, you know, with that, we can kind of reach those goals. You know, we don't need money. We don't need a lot of time to go to these fellowships, to read, you know, more Bible, to witness our families. And so that's, you know, that's what I kind of want to get out of that. It kind of depends on, you know, how we allocate our time and resources. So, you know, today's lesson is about time. And I gave some of you guys this handout. I didn't give it to everyone. I didn't get enough copies, but hopefully if you don't have one, you can, you know, look on to someone else. The top two are just comics. I kind of like them, but the title of the comic strip is called Brevity. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but it's called Brevity. And brevity, you know, that word's actually used in our lesson this week. It's, you know, to refer to, you know, something that's short, that's brief, to the point. And that's kind of captured in these comics. You know, it's to the point. And I think that's what Psalms 90 was talking about, is that our lives are straight and to the point. And if you look in the bottom, I didn't accurately account for leap year or whatever, but I basically just put, you know, the years and how many days you would have lived if you reached those years. So it's kind of close, but not really. But the thing that kind of shocked me when I was doing this was, you know, the numbers really seemed kind of low. I thought I always thought that it would be some, you know, huge number when, you know, you reach to age 80, but it's pretty small, right? I don't know. That's how I felt. I guess, you know, if you measured it by hours, it would be different, but I think, you know, a lot of us measure our lives in days. You know, we remember our best days, remember, you know, things that happened to us in certain days. The reason I stopped at 80 was actually because I think the average lifespan for males is about 76 and for females is about 80. So, I mean, on average, you know, you can kind of pick where you think you might be, you know, depending on how much you exercise. I'm probably not very... Okay, never mind. The point of this was, of this lesson is, you know, we're mortal, we live a short time, and we have to value our time that we have here, and what we do with our time is going to affect how, you know, we live eternally, right? If we spend our time reading the Bible and witnessing and getting other people saved, you know, it would have made our time worth it here. For me, I don't know if you guys have heard, you know, the story of the shooting on 19th Avenue, but for me, I was really interested in that because it's kind of like in our own backyard. But I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but I'll read an article from SF Gate. So it reads, murder charges filed in pizza slangs. So this was on, I believe it happened on Thursday, or it was happening on Friday. So San Francisco prosecutors today filed murder charges against a 19-year-old Daly City man being held in the weekend shooting outside a Sunset District pizzeria that killed two patrons, authorities said. Matthew Ao Yang is expected to be arraigned Thursday and remains in custody on $20 million bail. He also faces a special circumstances allegation for multiple murder, said Assistant District Attorney George Butterworth. If convicted of the allegation, he could be sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Ao Yang, who was arrested Tuesday, is charged with Saturday's attack that killed Jason De La Cruz, 31, of Daly City, and Derek Witch, 23, of San Francisco, on Irving Street near 19th Avenue, police said. San Francisco police had originally arrested Ao Yang on a probable cause warrant signed by a judge. Ao Yang, according to witnesses, fired upon the two victims after a dispute began outside the restaurant and spilled outside. De La Cruz offered free pizzas to his coworkers from a wireless company, but another customer apparently believed he was entitled to free pizza too. The dispute seemed to have been resolved with a handshake outside, but authorities said Ao Yang got out of a car and opened fire. So that's, if you guys have been following it, that's pretty much it. I thought it kind of tied in with, you know, this week's lesson about time and how we spend it and, you know, the days in our lives. And to me, it was just, you know, kind of senseless, right? It was a senseless shooting of two people who won't get to live any more days, and one person who, if he's guilty, I don't know if he is, you know, he's going to be spending the rest of his days, you know, behind bars, right? And if you read, you know, Psalms 90, you know, it's Moses writing a psalm about the Israelites and how they wander, you know, in the wilderness for 40 years. And if we look at verses 7 and 8, it says, you know, for we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So, you know, I think here it's just kind of saying that God's going to punish those who sin and who don't obey him. And, you know, the Israelites were punished for their disobedience. And, you know, Moses was praying that they would, you know, number their days, that they would take advantage of their life and kind of see that, you know, God's kind of in charge of our days. And I think it's, you know, important that we know, you know, that God is in control and he's going to, you know, punish us if we're disobedient. The study guide actually had a reference to Proverbs 27:1, which I'll read here. It just said, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." So I kind of saw that as, you know, you have to have the live every day like it's your last mentality. And I think in that sense, you know, we need to live every day to honor Him, to bring glory to Him. And, you know, what does that mean in our daily lives? Maybe it means, if, you know, for a student, that, you know, we go to class, that we show up and we try hard and we just try to be a, you know, a good example. You know, for we go to work, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Just, you know, be a good worker, try and show up every day, do your job well, and try and be respected. And, you know, living for God every day, it affects, you know, how we speak and the people that we interact with. And also, the book, it mentions that, this is a quote from the book, it says, "Our prayers, too, should include a request for display of God's power in our lives and the gift of His favor and grace on our service for Him." And I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, it kind of implies that if we live every day for Him, that, you know, we can always come to Him every day, you know, without shame or hesitation to ask for help. You know, I know that when I sin, it's harder for me to want to go to God, you know, to ask for favor, you know, because it just makes more sense that if we're living for Him, if, you know, all our actions and lives revolve around Him, that we can go to Him at any time and not be ashamed. You know, that's pretty much the lesson that I want. It's really short, but I just want to leave, you know, this last scenario of that kind of relates to this. So, you know, in college, you know, a lot of times it's, was an 18-week semester? Is that right? I don't know. And usually, you know, there's a final in the last week. Sometimes worth like 50% of your grade, right? And, you know, the final date is usually set in stone when you show up to class, right? The professor will say, "You have to come this day. There's no exceptions. If you can't, you know, if you can't make that date, don't take the class." And so, you know, people will usually obey that. They'll come to class initially. You know, by a couple of weeks, people stop coming to class, and by, you know, 2/3 of the way through the semester, you know, the classes are pretty empty. And then what happens, you know, when finals come around? You see new people you've never seen before, right? They all start coming back, classes become filled, and that's just the way it is. You know, people wait until the last minute. They procrastinate, right? They figure there's no urgency. I don't need to show up for a class. You know, I know some people are like that here, probably. So people know, you know, the reason that people don't show up is because they know what day the final's on. They don't feel the urgency to have to prepare. So they just wait until the time comes around, you know, when it's finals, right? So now just consider if you took a class or you walked into the classroom and the professor says that you'll have a final that's 50% of your grade, but you don't know when the final will be. It could be anywhere between weeks 5 and 18, okay? So, I mean, would you consider missing a class during, you know, weeks 5 to 18? Probably not, right? Because you might think the professor's bluffing. You might not show up. Or, you know, most of us, I probably would show up, especially, you know, weeks 1 to 4. I would even probably start prepping for finals on week 3, right? Just to get ready, just in case he's not bluffing. I just want to find out, would anyone actually risk missing a class any time between weeks 5 and 18? 50% of your grade.
Depends on the circumstance.
Yes, depends.
All right, what circumstance would it be?
Like, if there's a family member that's gravely ill or I'm gravely ill.
Okay.
Well, you're not willingly cutting class, though, right?
Willingly. If you...
Depends how risky I
am. All right. Well, I mean, it didn't seem like too many of you guys would risk it, right? Because you guys don't know when the final is going to come, right? And I think the difference there is that there's an urgency here, right? Because you don't know the final date. You don't know, you know, there's no final date set in stone. And I kind of, you know, view that as kind of the same with, you know, us and Jesus and our days, right? We don't know when the final is going to be, right? It could be anywhere between, you know, anywhere on this list between, you know, where you are right now and age 80 probably, right? So I kind of view, you know, Jesus the professor, right? He's told us it's going to be some time, but, you know, you don't know. And so know, how we spend the weeks prior to the final, you know, that's going to prepare us for when the time comes that, you know, if we spend our time, you know, reading the Bible and praying, we'll be prepared when, you know, we have to take God's final, right? So, and that's really just the main message that I want to emphasize is that the 3 points is, you know, just to number your days. I mean, if you look at the sheet, you know, you kind of see that, you know, our days are limited. We don't have, you know, that many. And I think if we kind of feel that sense of urgency, that it'll help us achieve the 3 goals that we set for ourselves for God. The other point, like Moses did, you know, remember that God will take away the days if, you know, we're disobedient. And lastly, the last point I want to make is just to work towards your goals in the days that, you know, we do have to make our days useful. I mean, that's pretty much it.